The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gift. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey folks, Brian from Amazing Avenue Audio, the show, checking in again. This is the second half of the conversation that started last week on A Pot of Their Own with Bradford William Davis. And yeah, we're going to jump right into it here. So I just wanted to remind you guys to check out Bradford's work. And until next time, let's go Mets.
Batter up.
So where do we go next? Like, what do you think? What do you think the players will do? This is May 26th at 9:47 Eastern. Well, we can get started about this.
Somebody pointed out Max Scherzer is on like the negotiating committee or one of the committees. So
yeah, I think
Jared
tweeted that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think he's going to be in favor of taking a pay cut anytime soon.
It's Scherzer, Andrew Miller, I think Corey Gearing as well. And Corey Gearing is like a journeyman reliever, so you know, he could speak honestly to you know, the issues of people in the lower income, you know, the lower end of the income total pool. So like that's you know, so my hope is that there is enough good communication within the ranks of the union, you know, with which to withstand this, you know. I hope everyone's saving their MLB the Show money. they may need it for some time. It really will show them, I guess, you know, their mettle, you know, in all this. Because this is really, you know, between the pandemic and, you know, just people who have way, way, way more financial runtime, you know, calling the shots. It's gonna be real.
I don't think there's any way the union accepts this. I mean, like maybe they will, but I don't see it. I don't see the union accepting this.
Well, I mean, I think like the money gets talked about the most for obvious reasons, but ultimately, I think the health and safety stuff is gonna end up being the sticking point because like best case scenario. It's so complicated and convoluted, and there still have to be huge liability concerns. And that's the part that really has me kind of scratching my head. Like, I don't know how they really think they would pull that off. And like, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know if it's like naive to think they can pull it off or naive to think they can't, but that I feel like they could all find a number that, you know, I don't want to say they're all happy with, but I feel like the pay issue is resolvable. It's the health and safety stuff mm-hmm. that it just doesn't work. Like the math doesn't add up there of the number of accommodations they have to make, alterations to the style of play, you know, talk about like socially distancing and, you know, what's a guy gonna lunge towards tagging someone and then realize like, oh shit, I can't do that, and like,
yeah, it's just
back and like tear
them.
His freaking hamstring. Is that like what's, you know, is that what they're gonna be expected to do? I mean, that's the part that there are just so many unknowns and so many risks you know, and really, I mean, MLB says they're not going to stop games if somebody tests positive, but like, if someone tests positive, and let's say one other person tests positive after that, what choice do they have? It would be a nightmare. Like, I feel like, again, like the liability alone has to be a major concern. But what do I know? I'm not a billionaire.
Well, and also, like, there are players with underlying conditions. There are players with, you know, autoimmune diseases, people with diabetes. Nimmo got checked out for a heart issue this in spring. Why are you taking the chance to play baseball that's not even real baseball at this point? It's going to be some watered down version of it. So they're risking, you know, getting COVID, number one. Number two, they're risking blowing out hamstrings, like Maggie said, doing something that they're not used to doing. Plus, the season's been weird, so they're not training like they're used to doing.
The number of Tommy Johns is going to skyrocket.
Yeah, the Tommy Johns can go up. But then also, if you get it, if you get sick, you could have permanent lung damage. Like, that could affect your entire career. Like,
I think there's a lot of focusing, for obvious reasons, about the death rate. But, my mom is in her early 60s, incredibly healthy, like, works out all the time, like, a healthy person with no pre-existing conditions at all. I mean, she was released from the hospital, I'm just trying to do some quick mental math, like 7 weeks ago, and she's still coughing. Like, when I talked to her on the phone, she's still coughing. She had, 3 weeks of PT just so that she could, like, get up the stairs. Like, this is a, like, healthy person, best case scenario situation. Like, medical providers were telling her, like, wow, you're in such great shape. It's amazing. And, like, she can't talk for more than a half hour without losing her breath. Like, that's... You don't have to die for this to be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be at risk of death for baseball players to think, that's not worth it.
And I can imagine... I could see a scenario where many of the highest earners are just like, man, bump this.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Like, it is not worth the next, 8 years of my earning potential, to make a pittance of what I currently make.
Or even, let's say, I don't want to put this out there, but let's say Pete Alonso gets it. He's never been paid. And now What if an owner looks at him and says, you're damaged goods now, I'm not paying you ever.
Right. And
so is it really worth it to put himself at risk for one half of a season that there'll be question marks all over the place if it ever even gets finished?
Right. Or you're Marcus Stroman and you're about to hit free agency. Could be in line with another good year. You know, he made the All-Star team last year. Like, another good year, you could be in line for about 100 mil. Like, based on the way, sort of number two-ish kind of starters, get paid. That would be, catastrophically bad if, he can't breathe. Long-term,
You kind of need your lungs to play baseball.
Yeah.
And let's remember who's the highest risk of this disease, and it's people of color. And MLB has a lot of them, and they're notoriously treating them like shit. And this is no different of looking at their players of color and saying, you'll probably be fine. We'll test you 3 times a week. And not acknowledging that increased risk that they're facing.
And the funny irony of all of this is that if they tested daily, which the union is asking for, according to reports anyway, but if they tested daily, they would be a lot more free to have something more approximating real baseball. You can high five your homies without worrying, about this stuff. If everyone's with some reasonable degree of certainty, I should say, that everyone who's inside this de facto temporary biodome, is COVID free, because the test from yesterday came back negative, you know? They could be doing that kind of thing, but instead they want you to, like, you know, ditch sunflower seeds and, you know, and hugs.
Yeah, forever. Empty measures, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's eyewash, man. It's fake hustle.
Folks, what if every out is a force out?
But my thing is Trey Turner going to get inside the park on a walk?
Yeah, like, prob. Like,
hold him on. He can just run forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real. Like, that's probably going to happen. And yes! And try telling Mike Pelfrey he can't lick his fingers before he touches the baseball. That's not going to go over very well.
Or the Houston Astros pitching staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my other thing.
Wait, what tier is the garbage Astros. Is the garbage can hitter in?
Right.
No outside garbage cans.
Tier two, right? He would get tested.
But let's say, you know, knowing the Astros history, let's say Jose Altuve shows up to the ballpark and has a slight fever. Do the Astros report it?
Oh,
I mean, that's
my
a
gosh.
Real question, though. And, you know, someone who's like, you know, a quad A type guy who is just getting his shot and is playing really well, you know, if he's got like a tickle in his throat,
is
he going to share that? I don't know. Like, and it's real, and it's really easy to demonize anybody who wouldn't, but like, these are people trying to like establish careers, trying to like support their families.
Right.
These are the ones that the A's don't want to pay. Like, these are, you know, legit concerns, and MLB has shown no particular interest in addressing any of them meaningfully.
And Lord knows, franchises like the Mets have established cultures of hiding injuries. And
oh God!
Geez, I haven't even thought about the Mets.
So I think that the Mets would be like public enemy number one when it comes to like suppressing any sort of like honesty about how you're feeling on any given day.
See, my mind went to the Astros, but now you're totally right.
Yeah, like what's Jed Lowry's excuse going to be, right?
Like, very funny. Jed Lowry's not a real person.
Can you get COVID if you were never actually on the team?
Well, Jed will have COVID-20. So there'll be Beijing Zero for the second wave. Man, a horrible joke. Certainly hope everyone... I really am... The most important thing to understand is that this is absolutely disgusting and evil, lest anyone get lost in my gallows humor, that, you know, baseball should not be played right now until the country as a whole has reached a place where coronavirus is, if not extinct or able to be medicated, so suppressed, you know, that any market that has baseball games, you know, can play in front of people who are just as safe as the fans, can play in front of people that are just as safe as the players. Until it reaches that kind of benchmark, it's all unethical to some degree.
Well, yeah. And I think a coach in Nicaragua just died,
right?
Yeah, like, and is there, that what it's going to take?
And the reason why is because the country, you know, Nicaragua did not take coronavirus seriously. Mm-hmm. They didn't receive a lot of cases there, and so they were like, oh, well, you know, keep going. Do things as usual. And so they had team sports, they had fans in stands. James Wagner did a very good piece about that. James Wagner, the New York Times, who's a Nicaraguan American. But they just kept things as usual, you know, to I guess keep the country spirits high and then the commerce flowing. And you know, what happened? Like, they, you know, one person died. A handful of baseball players are either in isolation or in hospitals right now. You know, the season's shut down anyway. So,
well, this is kind of off topic, but they're saying they're letting like foreign born players can come back into the country. Like, they're exempt from any travel bans. So, like you said, like, you don't know. If, you know, I don't know if any baseball players went home, but if they did, you don't know what restrictions those other countries had. Like, I know for hockey, Sweden tried the herd immunity thing.
Spoiler alert, it didn't
work. And it didn't work.
The herd got sick.
A bunch of hockey players come back from Sweden who didn't bother with a lockdown. So you just don't know. You can't control what people do once they leave. And
but that's why the CDC guideline is to isolate yourself for 14 days if for any reason you're coming back into the United States. Any country. South Korea to whatever, you know?
Yeah, except for the Blue Jays.
It should be, you know, like, come on. Like that is the guideline. But there's no way that they can even do that in the timetable they're proposing. John Hammond just said that the MLB is trying to get spring training started by June 10th.
What?
Like, you see that a couple hours ago. You know, I knew it was mid-June. But, like, yeah, but it's barely mid-June.
That's like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, 2 weeks. You better come home now.
Oh, my God.
You know, Dominicans, you know, Puerto Ricans. Well, I mean, that's the United States. But, you know, Asians, you know, wherever you're from, like, come home now if you want to play baseball. Like, based off of, like, CDC guidelines. Not major league, not the exemptions that are almost certainly going to come for this protected class of essential worker. I guess isn't that a crazy irony? Like, essential workers are people who keep you alive. And non-essential work is work that if you can keep doing it, you might lead people, you know, it might allow other people to die. You know, it may further the spread of death. Like, and yet, and so it's a really easy way of defining, that's a really easy cut and dry way to define what is essential and what is not, you know? Like, if this shuts down, can you make it to the next day or next week?
But you're not thinking of the millions of spirits that need to be lifted.
Yeah, if your spirit isn't lifted, are you really alive?
Yeah,
take those spirits into consideration.
I don't know, and that's why I punch in my like 9/11 analogy in some way.
I want baseball. I want it. It would lift my spirits, but not like this.
No,
this feels like kind of achy, gross, and horrible.
I would like baseball too, given that it's a significant part of my livelihood. Like, I would like to be able to pay the rent. So I love my newspaper not to go under because there is no commerce. I would like to be able to justify my existence. I would really like baseball to be back, but I would, you know, but that's what's so depressing about, you know, where we are right now is that we know that it did not have to be as tragic as it is. We're on a federal level, but also in a local state level, you know, New York is not handled as well, despite all the positive press you get from Andrew Cuomo being able to string two sentences together.
Bradford, you're not like a Cuomo sexual now. Come on.
No, sorry.
Allison, I had blocked that word.
Sorry.
From my memory.
Sorry. I'm trying to delete it.
Gagged a little.
Trying to delete it.
Terrific.
You know, watching Andrew and Chris banter about is most loved by mommy, does not turn me on the way it does apparently many American women at this point.
Source cited on that, but okay.
You know, but I'm sorry. Like, it's just.
No, everyone done fucked up on this one.
So many parts of the United States have failed miserably in this, you know, not just Donald Trump and some of his, you know, sycophants and, you know, Republican run governments or the CDC or whatever, you know? Like, it's a near countrywide failure. And that's what, you know, makes me sad because perhaps if we had suppressed it early, you know, if we had developed the kind of solutions to with which to manage things until effective, you know, medicine is available or a vaccine, you know, whenever that time is.
Like, just a reminder that South Korea and the United States had their first positive case on the same day.
The exact same day. Right.
And like, we are all watching them play baseball.
Yep. Like, you know, if that was possible, you know, many more people would have jobs, you know, by now. Many more people would be back at work. Many more people, you know, would not be worrying about the next paycheck or being able to pay rent or whatever. Like, and our spirits would be lifted because our friends and family would not be very sick or dead. And we'd be able to enjoy this game knowing that no one else's health is being compromised because we're diverting so much time and money towards, you know, towards helping towards preserving a small consortium of billionaires is like, you know, I don't know, fourth yachts or whatever, you know, like that. That's what's so maddening and really grievous to me, you know, is that we're this country functional in this way. We, you know, we could actually have baseball back right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. My spirits would be lifted by baseball, but they won't be lifted if all my favorite players get sick.
Nope.
That'll be the opposite of lifting my spirits.
That would be killing my spirit.
So, yeah, we just hope that, you know, baseball does the right thing.
Baseball is forced by extremely bad press. No pressure, Bradford.
I can't even finish that
sentence.
To
do something approaching the right thing.
Yes. Thank you, Maggie. That's a better way of putting it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So before we move on to walk-off wins, we'll close with some more, like, I don't even know how to put this, some, like, more lighthearted drama in the grand scheme of all the drama that's happening, because I like petty drama to distract me from, like, the actual, like, existential dread that I'm feeling on a daily basis now. Right. And the Mets provide that in spades nearly all the time. And so the current latest Mets nonsense is that Noah Syndergaard and his landlord are fighting because Noah Syndergaard.
Publicly, too.
Yeah. So Noah Syndergaard was apparently signed a lease for a Tribeca apartment that was $27,000 a month. Cool. But he never lived there.
Hashtag relatable.
Never lived there, though, because obviously everything that's happening, and he is rehabbing Tommy John right now down in Florida still. So he basically was like, nope, and agreed to, like, I guess, like, a prorated rent, but then the landlord was like, no, you have to pay all of it, and he was like, no, and now he's been sued by the landlord. Yeah. So Noah Syndergaard, as we said pre-recording, welcome to the resistance.
Yes, let's start a rent strike, starting with Noah Syndergaard.
Noah Syndergaard-led rent strike. I'm down for it.
I'm picturing, like, a Newsies-led kind of... I don't know why Newsies popped in my head. But, like, Noah Syndergaard just leading the masses in song and rent strikes.
Extra, extra, read all about it. We stand a Norse god.
he should really be suing his barber. Let's be real.
Yeah. Well, he can't get a haircut like the rest of us, so
don't see the barber. The barber hasn't made money in 2 months. Let's give Noah Syndergaard's barber a break.
Yep.
I think it's really jacked up that, like, the guy, like, apparently leaked this little stat he had to the press.
Yeah.
Like, if I
to take that line down. Like, if it was anything else, okay, maybe, but not Noah.
Like, if I'm a rich landlord, right? Wouldn't I, I would imagine, even if I'm having a stat with Noah Syndergaard, right? Like, I would want the next celebrity to, like, want to rent that unit eventually, right? Like, yeah. I don't know if I would do that at this point. I mean, frankly, my prediction is that New York City is going to clear out a lot because of, you know, kind of everything that's happened. If I was extraordinarily wealthy, I could probably create a lot of reasons I would not want to be in the sort of, like, confined spaces, you know, that even rich New Yorkers live in. I would want to, like, try and, like, make, you know, like, say, like, hey, if we have any sort of, like, issue, I'm not going to tell the New York Post about it. I would want that to be a selling point for, like, you know, I don't know. Robert De Niro already famously lives in Tribeca. I don't know. Name a celebrity, guys.
We're not hip enough to do that.
Not hip enough? Okay.
I could name other baseball players, but I mean, it's just a bad look all around. Like, is this also, like, also, I mean, we, like, Noah Syndergaard, welcome to the resistance, you know, our friend of the show, Cheryl, jokingly offering to be his lawyer. It's all great. But, like, this douche is renting a $27,000 a month Tribeca loft. Like, jeez. Oh, my God. Can you imagine what it must look like?
I cannot.
Like, this is not a... There are no winners in this group. There's no one where I'm like, I'm on his side.
I mean, as speaking as someone who's apartment hunting right now, moving during a pandemic, do not recommend, by the way.
So this place is probably available, though. So
Cool. I'm ready. I'm apartment hunting in D.C., and so I am experiencing the sticker shock of D.C. rents, which aren't quite the sticker shock of New York City rents, but it's pretty close, honestly. And so as someone who is like, wow, I'm going to have to pay, like, twice as much in rent as I was paying in Baltimore, $27,000 is still an impressive amount.
I can't even fathom that.
That's like more than I pay in a year.
Yeah.
My rent's not like even that cheap. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to do the mental math on that. I think it's just about my yearly rent, and that's for like a whole family.
Yeah. Yeah. For my 800 square foot apartment is like that for about a year, like a little less than that, maybe, you know? So Jesus.
Yep. Special. I hope
Noah Syndergaard gets paid because he's got some rent to cover.
Yeah,
that's
really.
Some legal fees too.
Noah Syndergaard in a small claims court. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. can we air it on TV? I want to watch that.
Is Judge Judy still doing her thing? Because it certainly feels right up her alley. She would have a lot to say to these gentlemen.
Wait, yes. Did you know what Judge Judy is making? She's making bank per episode.
I can imagine. Maybe she can afford the Tribeca apartment.
Yeah, Judge Judy could spot Noah Syndergaard all the money he needs to pay his rent.
I can't remember where I just saw it. I have to look it up. But I was like, what?
No, it's like she makes like $20 million a year or something. Like,
yeah, it's something totally ridiculous.
Oh, you would like it to be $20 million. It's $47
million. Oh, my God.
You know what? She
works,
it.
You know how much she works, according to Wikipedia? 52 days a year.
What?
I mean,
and all she does is yells at people.
Bless the hustle,
For being broke and angry.
Yo, that's amazing.
That's a good gig if you can get it, man.
Yeah.
We're in the wrong business.
We are. We all are.
Podcast will pop off.
Get paid bad.
Guys, get mad ad money from this podcast.
Yes.
Raking in them dollars.
Time to start a Patreon, guys.
Yeah. Time to start a Patreon. It's true. Really should.
Let them pick the next live podcast topic.
Yes. Our Patreon.
Only $85 a month and you get to pick our podcast topic.
Only $27,000 a month. You get to pick our next live podcast. And we shall record it live from our Tribeca apartment.
Previously owned by Noah Syndergaard.
Previously owned by Noah Syndergaard. Apato live from Noah Syndergaard's Tribeca apartment. Let's get it. The other random Mets topic is, this is mostly, I just want Bradford's take on this, is we already know that J-Rod was going to buy the Mets, and now they're not going to buy the Mets. And Bradford, this is a Bradford topic, so I just want to know your takes on J-Rod potentially buying the Mets and then not buying the Mets.
No one has made more money off of baseball than Alex Rodriguez. And yet it shows how poor he is relative to the people who actually buy baseball teams.
Ugh. It's so true.
Sure, and that should say a lot to everyone who feels some level of cynicism towards the players for wanting to hold out to their previously agreed upon pay cut, which is a very, very important part of the framing of understanding the story, is that they already agreed to a pay cut. Before the season started, and why the coronavirus? You know, they got a $170 million advance on their contracts, which is split between all the players, with more, with, you know, proportionally even with more going towards people who make less money in the league. But just so that they had something in hand. And then, you know, and then they're getting prorated amounts of money, you know, based on how many games are left in the schedule. So if it's 80 games, they get half of their, basically half their salaries. You know, if it's, you know, 50 less, you know, they get that much amount. And so they're asking for, you know, Major League Baseball is asking them to take a second, even more substantial pay cut than the one they already agreed to. A-Rod is the richest player in baseball history and cannot buy a team. Partially because he's a dick and everyone hates him, but like the other part is because like he doesn't have the money, you know, up front to even like play.
Well, that, the Mets. Very successful. It's not the Dodgers,
the Mets.
Can't like, even buy the Mets.
Yeah, and but like J Lo's got her own empire too, so the two of them combined.
J Lo's richer than A-Rod, apparently.
Yes. Yes.
And to combine, they still can't buy the Mets.
Yep.
Yeah, they need help from other people. Which apparently they couldn't get. And A-Rod, the man who has made the most money off baseball, thinks the players should take a pay cut. Yeah, well, very kind of you, A-Rod, to say that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's very clear what he's doing. You know, Alex is trying to show that he can communicate the kind of messaging that Major League Baseball would like him to when it comes down to it, you know, despite him benefiting tremendously from a strong union.
He's cosplaying as an owner already.
The union has saved him from himself, in fact. In 2004, or actually, you know, yes, was it actually 2004, a calendar year, but whatever. But in between, before the 2004 season started, the Rangers nearly traded A-Rod to the Red Sox. One of the things that was a problem, though, were the financials at play, for Boston anyway. And A-Rod was willing to defer his payments, essentially, like, you know, reduce his pay for a significant period of time so that he can go out and get, you know, so that he can make the money work so that he can join a contending team. The union would not allow him to do that, thus giving him enough money, or allowing him to keep enough money at hand. Present value is always better than future value, with which to go out and at least imagine himself rich enough to go buy a baseball team. So it's quite a about face, you know, from Rod, given how important the union has been towards, like, you know, really anything he's ever had in his life ever. Like, literally.
Yep. Yep.
You know, if he was born in 1940, you know, 40, you know, he would, you know, not be having this conversation.
Yep.
But because he has the union, he can. He can think about it.
Yep. But, you know, despite all of that, we will end the show this week, like we do every week, with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about what is making us happy this week, baseball-related or otherwise. There isn't much baseball-related stuff to be happy about this week, but I'm sure that there are other things that we can find to be happy about. So, Bradford, what is something that made you happy this week?
What's good right now? I mean, I'm grateful, you know, I'm grateful to be healthy and grateful to be employed, but that's not really the spirit of walk-off win, right? Like, alive.
It's whatever you want it to be.
It's whatever you want it to be at this point.
No, you know what? I will say this. So I grew up in New York, right? I grew up in, like, in a neighborhood in Queens that's, like, right on the border where, like, the city starts turning suburban, right? So, like, you know, the last stop on some train lines and everything, it's a neighborhood called Forest Hills, actually. Not far from City Field, actually. So I was, like, just close enough to the subway where, like, I didn't need a car, but it was still would have probably benefited me, you know, given if I wanted to, like, see my grandma alone or whatever. But I never really learned how to drive until I was 26. And so it came right in the nick of time because one of my first jobs in, like, writing and media full time was actually based in Nashville. I was able to still live in New York still, but I would commute out there about once a month. And over there, you know, there's no real public transit, so you drove a lot. But after that job ended, I basically stopped driving. And so I was kind of scared, and I still am a little scared. But because of the coronavirus pandemic, I'm like, oh, I really shouldn't take the subway too much, if at all. In my neighborhood, there are a bunch of Zipcar parking spaces, like designated like slots where you can park a Zipcar at all times. It's really great, like street parking. And there's one right in front of my building. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to like get over myself. I YouTubed like how to parallel park.
I have done that while in the car. Not that I was driving, but.
Oh, no. Yes, I've done that. I did that too in the car as well. Like some basic like driver's ed 101 stuff. But yeah, so I YouTubed like, you know, like what to do in a, you know, a four-way intersection or something like that. You know, if I'm making a left and, you know, someone's coming. I don't know. Don't drive with me yet. But but yeah, and I've been driving again. And I still, you know, would much prefer to have again like a healthy, you know, vibrant and safe public transit system. You know, hopefully again we get this coronavirus under control so that we can, you know, ride subways and buses again, like we used to. But I was able to like help a friend out actually whose wife had a baby. A few weeks ago in Staten Island, and I drove my little Zipcar, not my Honda Civic, but the Honda Civic always parked in front of my house, from my apartment, all the way from Harlem, down the FDR Drive, a highway I would not recommend because the lanes are so narrow. It feels like, you know, everyone's just always on top of you. I drove through Brooklyn across the Verrazano Narrows. Into Staten Island, went to Costco, went to Trader Joe's, went to CVS, went to Target, got all the stuff that him and his wife and their three kids needed, and came back home. And I felt very proud of myself that I could like do adult things, because it eluded me for most of my life.
Well, now it's also the perfect weather to like drive with the windows down and your tunes on. Like even that, I find is like so good for my mental health.
Absolutely. But, you know, the one mistake I made my first time I did a Zipcar run was I had like some like hip hop playing, but with like, you know, like night, like it was after I was listening to a lot of Wu-Tang. And so they use a lot of like gunshot samples.
Uh-oh.
Like 90s gangster rap, right? And so like, not even gunshot samples that really matter, but like police sirens. So I'm constantly hearing a police siren in my car. I'm like, wait, oh no, I'm getting pulled over my first ride. I totally messed up.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, it was me, right? Yeah, exactly. So that was fun. But now I realize what subgenres I can't listen to just yet until I get a little more comfortable on the road.
Yeah, that makes sense. Linda, what is your walk-off win for this week?
My walk-off win is kind of baseball related. I don't know if everybody knows the comic, like the Strange Planet comic, but where it's like little aliens trying to figure out how to do stuff. And there was one where instead of take me out to the ball game, it was take me out to the orb match.
Transport me to the orb match.
Yes. So I had to buy the sweatshirt. And it took forever to came because there's like everybody's having shipping delays. And so my Transport Me to the Orb Match sweatshirt came today. And I don't know, it's just something so simple, but it made me so happy. And also I ordered a Jacob deGrom Funko. And everybody knows I love my Funkos. So when I saw they were making a Jacob deGrom one, I snagged on the very last day of the 2018 season. I snagged the very last Noah Syndergaard Funko in the team store. And it was like the best find. And I was so happy, which I'm also kind of annoyed about because the Reds did a Funko giveaway. Why aren't the Mets doing Funko giveaways? But I was like, I would totally go to that night, but I digress. Cause now I have to buy my Funkos instead of a giveaway, but whatever. So those are my two packages. It was a total surprise because I just assumed there would be delays forever and they would never come, but they were waiting for me when I came home from work today. So it was the little things that made me happy. So I have my my Jacob deGrom Funko and my Transport Me to the Orb Match sweatshirt that I will wear proudly whenever I'm at the next Orb Match.
Yeah, the only reason I knew enough to correct Linda on Transport Me to the Orb Match is because I also ordered a shirt.
It's amazing. That's a good reason.
Yeah, I ordered a tank top, and it came like 2 days ago, or 2 or 3 days ago it came. Earlier this week it came. So I also have a Transport Me to the Orb Match, but instead of a sweatshirt, it's a tank top. So very excited to wear that both to Orb Matches and to the gym once those places are allowed to function.
That's a Strange Planet one, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, cool. Nathan Pyle, the author, is actually a good friend of mine.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
I've known him for like close to a decade. He's a good dude.
Well, we just gave him a bunch of money.
Yes. We send it his way.
Yeah, I have I have two Strange Planet shirts. The other one is the Sometimes Science is So Hard and It Makes Me Sad, because that's very on brand for me. So I have that T-shirt.
I was thinking of getting the Creatures and Narratives one where he's reading the book with the dog next to him.
Yep, Creatures and Narratives. That one's also
good.
Like,
that's pretty on brand for me too.
Yes, so, I thought of you when I saw that one in the store.
That might be an additional purchase in the future.
Yeah. So Creatures and Narratives kind of, transitions well to my walk-off win, so I guess I'll go next. So my walk-off win for this week involves getting to see my dog. I feel like every time I see my dog, it's my walk-off win, but,
For excellent reason.
Obviously. Yeah. So I had to travel this weekend for an essential reason, not for a non-essential reason, for an essential reason. So my lease at my place in Baltimore, so I've been living in New Jersey for most of this year, but mm-hmm. I did have a lease still going in Baltimore until the end of this month. Someone had been subletting my room there. And the lease ends on May 31st. So this past weekend, I had to go to Baltimore to move all my stuff out of the house and put it in storage until I move this summer to my next place. So I had to move all my stuff out of the house and put it in storage. So we had to, me and Michael and my parents drove down to Baltimore to do that. But anytime I get to go to Baltimore, I get to see my dog. So I got to see my dog, but I also got to see some of my college friends. Most of my college friends live in Delaware still. I went to University of Delaware for undergrad, and most of my close friends are my college friends. And they, most of them still live in Delaware. So on the way down to Baltimore, I surprised my friends because we stopped at the liquor store to get post-moving beers, curbside pickup, to get post-moving beers, and we stopped there, and I bought my friends some really nice tequila and some, orange liqueur to get them, margarita-making ingredients, because my friends are big margarita people, and so I got them a bunch of margarita supplies, and I put them in a box, and I dropped it off to them in a socially distant manner, and we at least got to say hi to each other very briefly, all masked up and far more than six feet away from each other, but I at least got to stand on their driveway and talk to them face to face, which made things almost feel normal. I hadn't seen my friends anything other than virtually for months now, and I miss them a lot, but I got to see them in person, even though we didn't get to hug each other or actually be anywhere close to each other, but at least I got to see them in passing, and I got to see my dog, and all my stuff is now in a storage locker in Baltimore. So
that's awesome.
My walk-off win for this week. Maggie Wiggin, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Okay. So this has not been a winning week for me. Not anything terrible has happened. This is not the worst week of the quarantine or anything. It's just been a very blah, nothing week. But so I was tucking my daughter into bed tonight. She's 3. And I leaned in, gave her a kiss on the cheek, and she grabbed my head and pulled me down and gave me a big sloppy kiss on the cheek. And she kind of pulls my head back a little bit so she can look into my eyes. And she says, "You're wonderful."
Aww.
And then I smiled and she said, "And now you're happy. And that's also wonderful." And Oh no, I guess that's my walk-off win.
Oh,
that
was just sweet.
That was just and this is a girl who had me pulling my hair out minutes earlier and just that you're wonderful. Like I will hear that in my head forever. It was just such a like lovely, like genuine thing that she said to me because she thinks I'm wonderful. And I think she's wonderful. Okay, that's my walk-off win.
That's really great.
Because it was an awesome walk-off win.
That made me happy.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
that's like the strength to go on.
It is. All we got, man.
Yeah.
They are.
Well, we all need those little moments right now. So thank you for reminding us of that.
You're welcome.
Yes. So that does it for the show this week. While you're waiting for our next live pod from Noah Syndergaard's Tribeca apartment, you can go to amazingavenue.com, follow all of our fantastic content. We're still doing content, even though it's not the content that, you know, people probably hoped for. But we are still doing our best games series, writing about some of the best games that we've ever been to. We're going to do a second round of Amazing Avenue recommendations, recommend some movies, TV shows, games, beers, etc. for you guys from the Amazing Avenue writing staff. So you can check that out in the coming weeks. We're also doing a virtual meetup. I should shout that out. Hang on. I'm going to the website. Very, very good radio right now because I have to shout out our virtual meetup. We just concocted this in the past couple days. So if you go to AmazingAvenue.com, it's on the front page right now. We will be having a virtual Amazing Avenue regional gathering here, or ARG as we call them, because every year we try to do an in-person ARG, but obviously we could not do that this year at McKellar or anywhere else. So this year we will be having a virtual Zoom or Google Hangouts. I don't think the exact technology has been decided yet. But we will be having a virtual ARG on June 5th, which is a Friday, next Friday, June 5th, from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. So if you go to AmazingAvenue.com, there will be a link to register for the virtual ARG. So you should go there. We would love to see all of your wonderful faces and talk to you. That would be lovely. That would be my walk-off win. It probably will be the next time we podcast after that. So yeah, you should go to AmazingAvenue.com, check out that, check out all of our content. Bradford, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, I'm still writing the New York Daily News. You search my name, Bradford William Davis, that's my byline. You probably see a bunch of that pop up. I am frequently posting on Twitter at _BEEWILLY. If you read that out loud, it's _BWilly. It's the worst Twitter handle ever. But that's cool. It means I can keep a little profile and say what I feel about stuff, including how bad about my love for baseball, but my hatred of the people who run it. _BEEWILLY. And I'm on, same for Instagram as well, though I don't utilize as much as I should. And I'm writing regularly at the Daily News.
Yeah, you guys should follow Bradford. He makes excellent tweets, including one I retweeted today about the Central Park Karen that I won't get into right now on the show. But it's a good tweet. So yeah, you should follow him on Twitter. You should read his writing at the New York Daily News. You can also follow this show on Twitter at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow each of us, the hosts, on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Cervich.
And you, Maggie?
At Maggie162.
Follow the show on Twitter. Follow all of us on Twitter. You can subscribe to the show, Amazing Avenue Audio, our whole suite of podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets. And don't forget, there is no crying in podcasting.